Well, natural and farmlands are under increasing pressure from commercial, industrial, and residential development, but some Michigan municipalities have implemented wise, long-term land protection strategies, which are good for the environment, for agriculture, and for quality of life. Ingham County is one of those municipalities, having a decade ago passed an open space and farmland preservation millage that has protected over 5,000 acres and counting. That millage is up for renewal in November, and here to talk to us about the success of the Ingham County program is Stacy Byers. She's the director of the Farmland and Open Space Preservation Program. Stacy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kirk. Thanks for having me.
Give us a global perspective on this whole land use planning, the importance of it across the country.
Sure. Well, this issue isn't one that is new to the world. Environmental issues, water issues, land issues, the use of the land has always been on the forefront, I think, of many discussions. But what we're finding is better and improved ways of handling that land management. And we're finding that it's more productive to be incentive-driven and to have the landowners having an active role in the permanent protection of those resources. It benefits them, but when we look long term, we're finding that this is benefiting generations to come, and it helps us guide those principles in land use planning across the globe.
You're familiar with this study, but the American Farmland Trust came out with a report not too long ago on the state of America's farmland. 31 million acres of agricultural land were lost between 1992 and 2012, the size roughly of the state of Iowa. That's pretty compelling.
It's extremely compelling, and I think it's something that many people should sit up and take a look at, because in this country, I don't think we've ever had, we have never had an epidemic where we've been hungry. Hmm. We've never had a time when food and fiber and agricultural services were at such a deficit that we really felt the pain of that. Hmm. But when you look to other countries like Europe and some of those that went through the potato famine in Ireland and some of those famines, they value agriculture and they value the use of those lands, and they monitor and regulate that as such because they have felt the effects of what the depletion of agriculture can have on a society and a culture. And I think we need to start looking to them for models of how to do this, because if we continue down this road and we don't implement things, it's not our generation that's really going to feel the effects of this, but our children and our grandchildren. So it's going to take some tenacious leadership, I think, to really help solve this crisis.
And then constant or parallel to the agricultural lands, I mean, there's always been a conservation movement in America, well, at least since Teddy Roosevelt, on natural lands and spaces. And America's been better in some ways at that through nature conservancies and what have you than they have preserving farmland.
You're absolutely right, Kurt. The natural lands, and I think because of the water and the resources and the imminent resources that those provide, have also caused more attention. I think Senator Stabenow coined it the best, and she said the reason we haven't seen a dust bowl is because of some of the policies that the EPA and the Rural Development Councils have implemented. So we've started down that road, but there's always more work to be done.
Well, let's turn to Ingham County. A millage was passed 10 years ago. Give us a snapshot of that and why this program is so unique.
Sure. Ingham County is the only county in the state of Michigan that has been able to successfully pass a publicly funded ballot measure for farmland and natural land protection. So we're really, really proud of that. And we're proud of the fact that this came to fruition because a small group of individuals that had a vision of what they wanted to see for Ingham County came forward, did their homework, and were able to convince a body of government, the Ingham County Board of Commissioners, to put it on the ballot. So really, I think, a tribute to that leadership. And what they've been able to accomplish, I think, is also something that is very successful. So the Ingham County program started in 2008. Well, pardon me, it started in 2004 when the ordinance passed. And then we went to the commissioners and were able to get the ballot measure passed.
Yeah, and you're being modest, but a lot of the success of that program is because of your leadership over the last 10 years. I'm talking with Stacy Byers, director of the Farmland and Open Space Preservation Program in Ingham County. So it's been 10 years, Stacy, and now the millage is on the November ballot for renewal. Why should folks support it?
It's so critically important, and it goes back, I think, to what I was speaking about earlier, is that we may not see the direct impact today, but we have to be able to have the vision to see what is going to occur in the future. And that's why it's so critical that we work and act now so that we can maintain these natural features. Water and food and fiber are so, so critical to us that these programs are essential. And when you look at the cost of what it's costing the residents of Ingham County to actually implement this program, it's one of the cheapest millages that the entire county has. 0.14 is it's really cheap and very inexpensive, and we get a lot of bang for our buck with it.
Yeah, to put that in practical terms, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you've got a $100,000 house, it costs you about $7
a
year.
About $7,
If you've got a $200,000 house, it costs you $14 a year.
Yep, so we're talking a trip to McDonald's a year is really what this costs. Yeah, and we're getting thousands of acres protected permanently. So,
and part of the protection, talk a little bit about some of the development pressures that in general, but also specific to Ingham County.
Yeah, well, Ingham County, I think, is a bit unique because we have Lansing, and that's really what makes these programs successful, is the fact that we have a large, thriving metropolitan area. But the natural progression of a lot of those, unfortunately, is to continually to move out. And so we see that donut effect. We don't have to look very far to find a really great example of that with Detroit. We haven't experienced that kind of pressure here in Lansing, but we do have pressure nonetheless. And when we saw the downturn occurring in 2008, it gave us an opportunity to start to plan where those critical areas are and how we want to be proactive in terms of our preservation instead of reactive. However, since that downturn, we're climbing out of that as a country and as a state, and I think we're starting to see those pressures emerge again. We're starting to see the subdivisions being brought to planning commissions and debated on local levels in terms of their land uses. And so that debate is coming back much more strong than it even was, I believe, in 2008. So now more than ever is the time to start getting ahead of that. And the other side of this is we can talk a lot about the importance of natural resources and preservation of agriculture and the economics of it. But the flip side is we have an urban core that we need, that we have the resources and the infrastructure to support these populations. And this program helps to divert those resources back into the urban areas, back into where the people are and the concentration of the people and the ones that really need it. So we have found ourselves in a very unique position in a partnership where agriculture and now these urban areas are allies because we all have one goal, and that's to maintain our urban cores.
And I think to underscore your point, there's some misconception that these programs somehow prevent development from occurring. That is not the case. But it ensures that the development is done wisely with a lot of forethought.
Most definitely. And one of the main themes of this program that we talk about a lot in our presentations is the fact that this is not competing with development. The goal of this program was never to compete with development. It was simply to work in cooperation with development to find those areas that are most appropriate because we want to work in cooperation with development.
And another point as we conclude here, but to underscore the point, this is a voluntary program. Landowners keep the property. They just give up one of those sticks. You always refer to this bundle of sticks, but one of their property rights is the development rights. But otherwise, they keep the land. They can farm the land. It can still be used for natural hiking and all that sort of a thing. The families are only selling one aspect of that property right.
You're absolutely right. And it's a really great way for landowners to do some estate planning, because if they know they want to stay in agriculture, then this is pretty much a no-brainer for them. And it really helps that transition into the next generation. And we're hopefully helping to spur another generation of farmers in agriculture. But yes, it is voluntary. Landowners can do pretty much anything they want with the property other than build homes. Mm. And we think of it, you can liken it a bit to mineral rights. When you can sever or sell a stick in those bundles of rights from property, this is very similar to that. Mm-hmm. So if a landowner knows that agriculture is what they want to continue doing, and that's going to be the main thrust of their operation, then taking away the right to develop really isn't going to have a ton of impact on their operation.
Absolutely. Well, the millage is coming up in November. It is the Farmland and Open Space Preservation Program in Ingham County. I've been talking with Stacy Byers. She's the director of the program. Stacy, congratulations on the 10-year success of the program.
And thank you.
I hope the millage passes in November.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Kirk.